Oh, we're so lucky to have all of you here. You fantastic, phenomenal humans that you are. Thank you for jumping into another episode of Kabali and Mac After Dark. And Kabali is clearly excited about something Bell Vernon related. As you can see, the master of all backgrounds has cooked up another one. I don't know if you've repeated backgrounds yet. This will be episode 18 of the podcast so far. You may have done 18 different backgrounds. It's truly remarkable.
That is your newly crowned WPIAL Class Quad A basketball champion, Bell Vernon Leopards.
No way. Get out of here. Did that happen tonight?
It just happened about 10 minutes ago.
Wow.
And Baldwin did what?
Baldwin went out in the first round. It was a huge upset. I don't pay them taxes anymore. I don't care what they do. I mean, I'd be glad to see them win. TJ girls are still alive, I think. They didn't go to the peak, but they're going to the States.
Oh, yeah, they're going to the States. You're right.
Yeah. And half the girls on that team live in our neighborhood. They're all great kids. I can't wait to see them go far in the state playoffs. It's going to be awesome. But congrats to the boys team, right? Bell Vernon Leopards. What'd you say? Quad A. Whippy old champs at the Pete tonight. Good work by you, Bell Vernon.
The legendary Manesson Bell Vernon coach Joe Salvino's final game. He's hanging them up.
I mean, not now. I was going to say he's got more games left than obviously.
No, you're right. You're right. You got a couple more left.
This is big. This is very, very big. As always, welcome into Kabali and Mac. He's Mark Kabali. I'm Chris Mack. These after dark editions have taken years off of our life, but they've been necessary because of everything going on. Kaboom was out in Indy for the combine a couple days ago. I've been covering BetMGM network every single day and doing the Y108 stuff. It's been very, very busy. We'd like to thank the Dan Heck team for making it worth our while for us and all you listeners and viewers for still doing it a few times a week. HeckTeamHomes.com. Go there. You need to buy a home. You need to sell a home. You need to do both. Whatever it is, you need to find a community. They are there to help you. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They're the people to do it with. Heck, H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com, the Dan Heck team, there to help you. And we thank them for their incredible support of Kabali and Mac, which today we'll talk about reporter fights. We'll talk about report cards and all kinds of fun stuff from the world of the NFL. But we have to do the important stuff first. Mark,
what's the important stuff?
You know what the important stuff is. We finally eclipsed 500 subscribers. Took us 18 episodes, but we got there. We're up over 500 subscribers, 520 something now on the YouTube channel. And a sincere thanks to each and every single one of you who has become a subscriber to Kabali and Mac. Tell your friends. Because there's only more great stuff to come. I mean, think about it. It's February. There's relatively nothing going on in the world of football right now. And yet here we are hanging out with Ian's multiple times every week, having a good time doing so. And now officially I want to pull up the official number, make sure I have it right. We eclipsed 500 last night. We are at, now my phone won't work. This will be the one time it doesn't work and doesn't give me the number.
Jeez,
what are you doing?
Horse.
What was that? 525 subscribers.
There you go. You know what? Whenever our next giveaway is, who knows when that will be?
Yeah.
We should make it from 501 to X. So you're those 25 that are in now.
I don't want to cut off the first 500 people though. You know,
you want them to double dip.
Yeah, those are the day ones, man. Those are the people that have been down since day one. I look at the list.
Day one,
and just me, Oos. I mean, I look at the list, and there are 9 or 10 people who all immediately from day one became subscribers.
Who's number one? Give him a shout out.
Christopher Berenger is number one on the list. According to this, he was the first person to subscribe. Steve Tanner, Paul May, Mark Schell, Aaron Dickerson, Christopher Walker, Eric Higgs, Carol Toth, Brandon Rambo, all down from day one, Oos. Day one subscribers. So
were you?
Yeah. I mean, they all jumped on board immediately. And all of the first 500 who jumped on board, you are in the running now. It's very simple. I have the list up on my laptop. I'll hold the laptop up so as to provide proof. There's the, you can't really see it that well because of the light reflecting off the laptop screen. But that is the list of subscribers to the Kabbalion Mac YouTube channel, right?
Shady websites that you had hidden up there. So
what is shady about all my bookmarks at the top of the screen? See, there's my see, it's just all different bookmarks. That's all.
I thought you'd delete that one.
I ain't delete nothing. If I got anything worth deleting, it's on an incognito tab inside my Chrome. Don't worry about it. I only watch that stuff on my phone. So I got the list of subscribers right there. I'm going to use my phone and just a random number generator on my phone to.
Oh, look at the nice family.
Oh, the family photo. You like that? To generate a random number, because that's what a random number generator does. And then I'm literally going to sit here and scroll through the list until I get to that number. And that person will win the autographed Sidney Crosby photo plaque, which I want to show off one more time. Thanks to our friends at First and Goal Collectibles at South Hills Village, who have been so nice enough to provide this for us. I'm going to once again have trouble finding it because it's in my camera roll, and I got 75,000 things in my camera roll, most of which are just dumb clips from the show that I've tweeted out or posted on YouTube. Yeah, I can't find it in here. It's a God damn it. Where'd it go?
I just posted.
There it is.
Right.
There it is. The Sidney Crosby gold medal champion autographed photo plaque from Sochi in 2014. There it is. You got it up as well, except you've got your fancy BVA background, so nobody can see yours. Mine's only slightly better because the reflection of the ring light. Anyway, it's an awesome piece of memorabilia for any hockey fan, any sports fan who's a fan of Sidney Crosby. You're going to love this thing. So hopefully whoever wins this is a massive Sidney Crosby fan. Let me go to the random number generator. That's literally. Are you going to make that noise?
I just did.
All right. Hold on. Minimum one, maximum 500. See, there you go.
I sure hope right. I win. That would be great. Right.
You don't win.
I know. It would be funny, though, if I did.
All right. You see the number? What's it say?
240.
240. So someone's right smack dab in the middle. Each page here on the list of subscribers has 50 people listed. So I'm going to scroll once. I'm going to scroll twice. I'm going to scroll three times. I'm going to scroll four times. That's 200. And I'm going to scroll once more. That's 250. So I want to go to the bottom and count back 10. You with me now? You got this? 250, 249, 248, 247, 246, 245, 244, 243, 241, 240. Okay, are you ready?
No, hold on a second. We got a. I was going to do a drum roll, but I don't think I can find one. Forget it.
Good job. All right. Are you ready? The winner of the autographed Sidney Crosby photo plaque is Larry Yellen. Larry Yellen. Larry, congratulations, my friend. You got to get in touch with us now so that we can make sure the good folks at First and Goal Collectibles, South Hills Village, get you the autographed Sidney Crosby photo plaque. If you are Larry Yellen, by all means, go ahead and comment here if you're watching. If not, jump into the mentions on social media. We're going to find you if you don't come and reach out to us. We will make sure you get it, Larry. Congratulations. This is major. Kaboom.
How do you spell his last name?
Y-E-L-L-I-N. Like, I'm yelling at yins. Larry Yellen is the winner of the autographed Sidney Crosby photo plaque from First and Goal Collectibles. Thanks to them, too, for providing it. It was awesome. They reached out to us and had the suggestion of, hey, why don't you guys start doing giveaways? And we said, yeah, why don't we? Because we love you guys that are hanging out with us and checking in on the show constantly. We really do appreciate it. The numbers are doing well on the YouTube. Of course, the more Ians that watch, the more awesome stuff we'll have to give away and the more awesome things we'll be able to do. But thanks for hanging out with us nonetheless to this point. Larry, we'll find Ians and we'll get you your photo plaque. Also, while we're thanking Larry and all of you for joining the show, while we thank the Dan Heck team and Heck Team Homes, got to thank our guys at Southwest Greens, southwestgreenspa.com. They told me the other day they are lined up with jobs and quotes and stuff for at least the next 45 days. Kaboom. They are busy. Southwest Greens. They are busy. And I have to think at least a small part of that being a part of Kabali and Mac.
A huge part.
Well, I said at least a small part. We could probably, I don't want to hurt ourselves patting ourselves on the back too much here. So get a hold of Jake at southwestgreenspa.com. Tell him that Kabali and Mac sent you. If you're looking to take care of the yard this spring and summer, and look, it's pouring down rain right now as we're sitting inside doing this show. Spring is like this in Western PA. Your yard's going to be unusable, right? It's going to be a big muddy pit, even if you have the best grass in the world. How'd you like to not have to worry about that? How'd you like to have to not worry about the mud getting tracked in, about having to cut the grass, about having to water the grass, about having to take care of all of it? Your pets can go on this stuff. Your kids can play on it. You can put a big old play set out there in the backyard, put it in the front yard, put a little putting green out there if you want. Southwest Greens can do all of it. Get yourself a beautiful, the best looking yard in the neighborhood with relatively little, if almost zero maintenance. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Thanks to them for jumping on board as well. Okay. So the business is out of the way. Are you ready now?
Let's rock and roll.
Let's rock and roll. How'd Art Rooney II get a D from his players?
You know, people aren't going to like
No, say, no, right? Yeah. No. Please. Tell me why all of this right doesn't matter. Right now?
Should I just jump right into it right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, there's a lot of – well, let's just put it this way. It's only one reason, and one reason alone. First of all, some of those grades are kind of weird. I spend a lot of time in that cafeteria and Chef Kevin, and they do an absolute spectacular job. To give them
they
a
do.
This is just ridiculous. So I don't even want to hear it. Nutritionist, oh, you guys make enough money. Go get your own nutritionist. I don't even know. Whatever. The team flight was a B whatever, which means their travel stuff is good. It all comes down to one thing, Chris Mack. It is the facility that is they have outgrown. They have outgrown it by leaps and bounds over the past.
Was it a C minus for the facility or what was it?
It's all the same thing. Facility onto locker room size onto whatever.
D for the locker room. D kaboom for the locker room.
It is. I mean, it is what it is. It's all based on the facility is not nearly as big as they need it to be. Now, if you want to criticize Art Rooney for not getting on top of this sooner, you can criticize him about that. They signed a 15-year extension with UPMC that involved, I believe, $10 million worth of upgrades. The Rooney name got put on the building, a couple other things.
That was like 4 or 5 years ago, right?
You know, that was more like 10 years ago.
Okay, all right.
So that comes up here in 2030, and that's where they're moving towards right now, of needing a total upgrade. Now, it's not going to be an upgrade. It's going to be a move. They're going to have to move out somewhere.
They're going to end up in Cranston. Like, I don't think that's a bold prediction, right?
I don't know. Is it? I don't know if Art wants to move out that way. They hired David Morehouse a couple years ago for situations like this. Former Pens, was he president maybe? I can't
remember.
For situations like this and the upgrade of some of the Acrisure Stadium. He's been, you know, snooping around. You fix that, you get a bigger location, then all of a sudden it, you know, it fits in, and Art Rooney doesn't look like a cheapskate anymore. And that's all it comes down to. Even J.C. Treader, the head of the NFLPA, said it publicly yesterday, 2 days ago. Most of this is just based on facilities, as in the entirety of the league. So they just got bad facilities that were state-of-the-art 20 years ago, but now are outdated, and they have to upgrade it and move out and get a bigger place.
Do you think they actually will?
I think they have no choice but to.
But here's the thing, and this is why I say Cranberry. Or I don't know, maybe South. Teams don't set up shop in the South Hills anymore, like out towards Washington. For whatever reason, that's just not as popular as like the Cranberry area, because there's a lot more, I guess, housing out that way. Whatever. And there's just a lot more out there towards Cranberry.
Taxes.
I mean, Washington County taxes and Butler County taxes, I don't think are that much different.
Allegheny County.
They're huge. They're vastly different from Allegheny County. Yeah, no, that's totally correct. I don't know how many guys live in Allegheny County anyway, to be honest.
I think Darnell Washington lives around us somehow. But most of them live north of the city, Sevens Fields area, Cranberry area.
So that's why it all computes to move it out there. Like that just – look, if the Penguins were able to pull it off, and they were, the Penguins were homeless for decades. You know, they bounced from rink to rink. I got to think that – Morehouse being involved sees the benefit of setting up shop out in Butler County, where they can have all the space they want, where they can be close to everything, where it's really what's the drive from Cranberry into town to Heinz Field? Like 20 minutes? Yeah. I mean, you jump on 79 and you're downtown in 20 minutes, 25, 30 with traffic, depending on what time of day it is. It makes too much sense. And the disappointing part is that, like, they haven't done this sooner. And look, that's what I don't understand. Like, you mentioned they had the lease and they had the agreement. So that's up in the next 5 years.
Well, they had the extension in 2015.
So they could have made a move on it then, but they didn't.
Well, they got some upgrades that they thought was going to work. But, you know, you cannot compare this to the Penguins, by the way, because the Penguins got a building with a sheet of ice or two in it, right? The Steelers not only have to have a facility, they got to have an indoor facility and an outdoor facility. So it's a little bit more complicated, a little bit more expensive. It's not like you can whip it up here in, like, you know, a year.
Yeah, it's more square footage, right? Like, I don't doubt that. You got to have a locker room that's twice as big, three times as big. Yeah, it's undoubtedly a different project. Now, I imagine maintaining artificial turf is probably a little bit easier than maintaining ice, but nonetheless, here we are. They've got to build a new facility. There's got to be more to it than just facility, right? Like,
I don't think it is. I really don't think it is. You think about it. Who else got a low training, low grade? The weight and conditioning staff. Who hired them? But Mike Tomlin got an A. So how does that quite compute? If that's the guy that's going to make that decision, but Rooney gets the D offer. I'm not saying Dan is, like, you know, the biggest spender in the world here. Well, we all know that, but I think he's taking a little bit of a bad rap here of being Mr. Cheapskate. They have done upgrades nearly every single year since then. I mean, just this past year, they're sticking saunas in the freaking commodes, man, the bathrooms and the locker room, because they have no space.
They
have no space. Do you know where we had to park that for the most of the year, media? We had to park down by Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
25-minute walk?
I don't understand. You're gonna think I'm stretching here or I'm reaching, right? But, like, this is indicative of this franchise as a whole. And we've talked before about how slow they are to react to things. It's like turning around an aircraft carrier, man. They are not light on their feet or nimble or quick to react to trends and things that are happening. Like, we've been talking about this facility, like you mentioned, since the extension came up 10 years ago. and now they're in it for another 5 years. Like, they, yep. Okay, you're making the best of a bad situation, I guess, but they're just so. So what's going to happen is they're going to plan to have, they're going to wait until 2030, right? And then they're going to try to renegotiate something somewhere, or, you know, come up with something. And then they're going to have to spend another 5 years in this dump on the south side. And that's what it's become, a dump, before they finally move out to Cranberry. I mean, by the time all this happens, Mike Tomlin's retired. You know, the next quarterback is retired. I mean,
they're still looking for their next quarterback.
Right, exactly. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger's kid will be the quarterback by then. It's just so, it's so glacial, the pace of change with this organization. It's why we as fans freak out when they do something like flip a quarterback room one offseason, like Omar did last year. Like, we're just, or, you know, a few years ago when they traded for Minka, and we were all like, oh my God, they traded for someone. You know, they do these things that they would never otherwise do because they're so slow to change. And I just, I mean, it's not going to get better before it gets worse. I think this is,
you know, I don't think that they can do anything on the south side. You'd have to go up. I don't know if that facility can withstand engineering wise of going up a floor or anything. There's no, like I said, there's no park. You can't go anywhere like that. They're going to have to move out, and that's all there is to it. And honestly, they divide it right in half between Pitt and the Steelers. However, the Steelers, probably a third of their area is the cafeteria area and the food preparation area.
Right.
Pitt doesn't have to deal with that. They have their own, you know, just extra room right there. They tend, I mean, if I was a guessing man, I bet you Pitt would be like, go. Because they're remodeling every single darn year down there at Pitt, trying to make that an upgrade on their side. In these days and age, I don't know if that really matters anymore. You just throw some NIL money at guys and they'll come.
Well, I don't know. No, see, guys want to, at least guys that fancy themselves Sunday players, like, they want to get that experience, man. Look, I don't know how often Pitt is recruiting the same guys that are ending up in the SEC, but like, they are recruiting some of the guys, same guys that end up in the Big Ten, and those guys walk into some of those facilities. Man, it's night and day, space-wise. I mean, Alabama's got a nicer facility than the Steelers do. Hell, they've got a much nicer facility than Pitt does.
You see Alabama, I think Alabama or LSU, they all got their own, like, personal PlayStation and TVs and lockers or something.
Yeah.
That's another thing I want to ask you. I got my point of view on this one. What do you make of these players being soft and say, oh, my locker is too tight. My food isn't fresh enough. In the old days, which means maybe 15, 20 years ago, we'd be laughing in their face rather than blaming the owner. Like, buck up, brother. This is football.
Well, that's, we could still laugh in their face if we want to and be all, we're blue collar Pittsburgh. I'm going to laugh in your face. Ah, go down, get Permanis for lunch if you want some wholesome energy to get you in through afternoon film sessions. But guess what? The NFL is a multi-billion dollar business now. And if the other teams are doing better things for their employees, their players, then you better keep up with the Joneses or you're going to get left behind. And before you know it, you're going to be the Cincinnati Bengals, not seasoning the food in your kitchen and players hating you for it. Like, you're going to be like, you're going to be the Cleveland Browns, whose locker room is a bunch of 2x4s nailed to the ground. If you don't keep up with other teams, it's going to turn into an advantage for those teams that you don't keep up with.
I don't know. I think half this roster you draft, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other part of the roster, the free agent guys, they're not going to say, I'm not coming there because my locker's too small. They're saying, how much money are you giving me? And in the lower end of the guys saying, I just want a job. So if somebody walks in that facility and say, I'm not coming here, man, they got wooden lockers. I just don't see it.
I don't think it's keeping people away, but I think it affects the way dudes feel about it when they're here, especially if they've been someplace nicer, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
like, think about it. We, okay. So I'll make a great comparison. Okay. I have worked at a number of different radio stations in my lifetime, right? Fresh out of college, I worked. I worked in a place that was in a triple wide trailer at the end of a dirt road in North Carolina, right? That is a dump. So then when I walked into, for example, the Odyssey Pittsburgh headquarters for the first time, and this is way back in the day, it was B94, and you know, I walk in there, I'm like, oh my God, this is legit. Like, you feel a way about it. Okay. You go back to the triple wide trailer, you're not gonna feel the same. And so, look, I'm not comparing me to a multi-million dollar making football player, but extrapolate it out for a guy who's making $8, $9, $10 million a year. He walks into a building that feels like crap compared to the one he just came from in college. He's going to go, what the hell kind of organization am I with? When this first contract is up, I'm out of here.
But if you're a good radio host, you're going to be a good radio host in the triple wide trailer.
And I was a damn good radio host.
And compared to the Odyssey Empire, right? It's not going to change because you're in a better facility.
No, but you feel, but it's like, so the main thing, my main takeaway from this report card stuff from the NFLPA is, like, you know why Miami got a bunch of A pluses?
Because it's in Miami.
Exactly. Everybody loves living in Miami. So everybody's happy all the time. Of course they're happy to be in Miami. So atmosphere and environment have a lot to do with it, man. It does. And you walk into the same building that you're splitting with a college team, and you got to go behind the toilet that's behind the shower to get in the sauna after you lift weights on top of six other guys in the tiny little weight room. After, you know, it, like, all of that stuff adds up, and it shouldn't affect the way you play, and it shouldn't affect if you're making the right amount of money, whether you want to go to a place or not. But if it's sort of splitting the difference on a decision, like if two teams are both offering me $8 million a year, I'll just say, and one place has a beautiful facility and I know they take care of their players and their player families really well and all that kind of stuff, like, I might go there instead of the other place that's going to pay me the same amount of money.
I don't know, man. Well, we provide a family room after the game. You know how quick they're out of that locker room? Hey, where's dad at? Let's go. I mean, what are we talking about here?
It's about their wives and girlfriends having a place to go with the kids if they want to, so they don't get heckled by fans.
That's called a, you know, box up there. What do you call that? The old...
The suite? The luxury suite?
Luxury suite. Go up there. Hang out with TJ Watts. Buddy, I just
look, I get what Justin is saying on YouTube right now. Guys sign contracts within hours of free agency without ever visiting any of these places, right? But they talk to their guys from around the league, like their agents know, their colleagues know. So you're right, Justin. Like, you, some of them will go, well, hell, if the Steelers are going to pay me $10 million and the Falcons are going to pay me $8 million, I'm going to go to the place that's going to pay me $10 million. I don't care if I got a wooden locker or I got to hang my drawers on a hook on the wall, right? Like, I don't care. It's that much more money. So, but again, when all things are equal, I'm telling you, it has to matter, just like it would for any other workplace.
Well, look at the top three teams that got the best numbers for facility for overall. The Chargers, who just put a new facility in L.A., Vegas, yeah, new facility there, and I forget who the third one is right now.
Is it Miami?
Yeah, well, somebody else had a new facility as well. So it's all comes down to facilities of what it is, and I don't think you can sit there. I think we just cherry pick. I mean, why don't we sit there and say, "Wow, they got like the top 10 in travel." What? Why aren't we talking about that at all? I mean, I just think it's stuff at this time of year we like to moan and complain about it. I don't think it makes that big of a difference. I don't think that makes him cheap. I think they were above. I think they were beyond everything that anybody thought of 25 years ago when nobody was doing this, but it got old in a hurry and they got to adjust. And I can agree with you. Maybe they're adjusting too slow.
And who was probably spearheading at the forefront the ideas of making players comfortable 25 years ago? Who was the guy running the joint back then? A guy who listened to people, right? A guy who walked through the building every day and talked to everyone and listened to people, right?
Man.
Right?
Well, that's fine.
Did Mr. Rooney walk through the building and talk to everybody every day?
Well, Art does after the game. He shakes everybody's hands.
Yeah.
I'm not in the building. We're not allowed in the building. Another thing, why are you whining about locker rooms? I'm in the locker room about 6 hours a week, and you rarely see any players in there.
Yeah, because they're dodging you. That's exactly what it is. I did find it interesting. Like the NFLPA report card stuff as a whole, that look at the ownership groups that got the lowest grades. Like the Jets get an F. Okay, Woody Johnson is a dummy who lets his kid run the team via Madden ratings. Okay, makes sense. The D minuses I saw were Arizona, which the bidwills are cheap, right? And there was another D minus, or maybe that was the only D minus. And the two Ds, you know who got the Ds? Owners that you would think would get much higher grades, Bob Kraft and Art Rooney. The other D minus was Carolina. I'm sorry, David Tepper, who's a complete and total loon and trying to fight people in the crowd from his box. The Ds were Kraft and Rooney. That part actually did surprise me. No?
Hey, I read what J.C. Treader said, and J.C. Treader said if there was one guy that has been very receptive to this poll, it's been Dan Rooney. Art Rooney. He's been trying to do upgrades and listen to the players and try to help out as much. He might be going at a snail's pace, but he's did make sure he pointed that out. But depending on what you listen to, we don't hear that.
Brian is insisting that Matt Stafford, who had his own personal sushi chef with the Rams, knowing how much you hate sushi, Mark, would just have Burt Lawton serving him Mrs. T pierogies in Pittsburgh. I actually don't mind Mrs. T's pierogies. I know that's blasphemy, especially with Lent coming up, but like.
Especially Grandma Church Lady ones. I tell you that his personal chef was Chef Rico, Antonio Brown's guy.
Did he ever get paid?
Probably not. He used to roll in there every day around 11, 12 o'clock and give Antonio his food. Let's see. That might have been the start of the end there for him. So, at training camp, the majority of them do have their personal chefs, but I don't think they're putting up pierogies. Hey, put it this way. Talking about this nutrition crap, they took out the freaking pop machine about 10 years ago. So they're looking about stuff, baby.
Yeah, but all that juice and stuff that's on that machine now has just as much sugar as the pop does.
Yeah, they got salad bars. They got smoothie bars.
That's a nice cafeteria. I'll give them credit. They do a nice job.
Minus. What are we doing here?
Well, we're just a bunch of media schlubs. We like anything that's free. So
they don't even give us the good stuff. They give them the good stuff.
Yeah. Real quick, what about the quarterback stuff? Is there any reason to believe anybody has moved at all on any quarterback things? I saw somebody put in the comments that Rappaport is reporting that Stafford is more than likely headed back to L.A. I think Stafford to Minnesota would be an absolute coup by the Vikings if they could pull that off. But I don't. Yeah, it's a lot of money and it's a lot of picks, too, probably. I don't understand why Stafford wanted out in the first place. Like, I understand wanting more guaranteed money. Like, I get that. He renegotiated his deal last year, and he or his agent or his wife or whoever was a dummy about it and renegotiated the deal so that, like, he was down to like $4 million in guaranteed money this year. So it was, you know, but you do a better job, A, in negotiating your deal, and B, You're not going to end up in a better place than LA right now. Like the Giants? No, thanks. That's going to be better.
He's made $364 million over his career.
Right.
He needs to squeeze out that couple extra $5 million before he calls it a career.
I guess. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and complain about other people trying to get more money. Go get the money, man. That's fine. I'm all for it. But like, you're in a better place to do it in LA with endorsements and everything. Go sleep in your personalized sleep number bed, by the way, nice endorsement deal. Instead of going to New York and getting the crap kicked out of you behind a terrible offensive line, or going to, I don't know, where else could Stafford end up? Where else is even realistic? It doesn't make sense. Stay in L.A.
You remember after they won the Super Bowl in L.A., they had the party or the parade.
Yeah.
And photographers take a picture of him, and he fell off the stage, and Stafford just turned around and walked away.
Walked away. You're on your own, pal. Good luck.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance there, man. I don't think there's any chance that he would come here. I mean, the cash is out of control. Steelers have like $60 million. I mean, when everything.
But why would you waste half of it on Matt Stafford?
I'm saying, but half of that, I mean, $15
million. Not waste. That's not the right word. But why would you use half of it on Matt Stafford at 37 years old?
Once again, if you bring Matt Stafford in, you're thinking you're a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah. And they're not. They don't. Who's Matt Stafford going to throw the ball to? Besides George Pickens and Pat Freiermuth. I mean, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think it still comes down with Fields. And, I mean, depending, I mean, the rumors out there, I just try to block them out. Justin's going to be the guy. No, Russell's not going to sign. There is not one chance in the world that they wouldn't take Russell back if Justin signed somewhere else. You think they would be much rather go and, you know, pick up Jameis Winston or Daniel Jones? No. Russell would come back. They just got to straddle the fence here for a little bit. I still don't think Justin's going to come back. I still don't.
No? Where do you think he ends up then?
I don't have any inside information, but I just have a feeling he's going somewhere where somebody's going to give him an extra year and some extra cash and a better opportunity to not look over his shoulder.
Can I tell you where I think it might be?
The New York Football Jets?
Nope. This is just my own personal opinion. Vegas has cap space. They've got Chip Kelly. They've got a player-friendly head coach who will help him along rather than criticize him or pull the ripcord immediately if he struggles. Vegas makes all the sense in the world. I know Brady would rather have Matt Stafford. We'll get to that in a minute. But it makes all the sense in the world. And they'll pay extra because they have the cap space.
That Justin Fields goes to the Raiders to play for Russell Wilson's ex-coach. Yeah.
It's not entirely crazy.
They're in trouble. They're in trouble. They're in trouble. They sign Justin. They're in trouble. They don't sign Justin.
Well, look, if Russ is the fallback position, it's not exciting. Nobody's going to do cartwheels over it. But it's better than, I don't know, Aaron Rodgers or overpaying Sam Darnold or any of the other options that you mentioned earlier, Jameis, Jacoby Brissett, whatever the other options out there may be, right?
Derek Carr is staying, so there goes that.
Well, the Saints have to keep Derek Carr. They're acting like this is some wonderful marriage. The Saints are $40 million over the cap. They don't have a choice. They have to keep Derek Carr.
Plus, you know, once again, that Travolta meme looking around, you get rid of Derek Carr, who's my quarterback? Spencer Rattler? What? I see what this looks like out here as well.
Yeah, so. No. Actually, Kellen Moore might be able to cook a little bit with Spencer Rattler. Rattler didn't look altogether terrible at times in the back quarter of the season.
Boy, I swear to God, he's 37.
Who, Spencer Rattler?
Seems like he's been around forever from the whole.
No, we've just been talking about him forever. From the time at Oklahoma, then he had a year or two at South Carolina.
He did that TV show where they had the quarterbacks before that. Then he got with it. So it's been out.
That's why it feels like he's been around forever. That's, I guess, my point. He's been in the spotlight or been talked about for a long, long time. I don't think he's bad. I liked him coming. I liked him before he came out in the draft. He had that bad year at South Carolina. And, yeah, I think Kellen Moore could do some nice things with him, but apparently it's Carr for another year in New Orleans until he flames out and they can get out from underneath the cap hit, I guess. Thanks again to Impact HVAC. We got to thank them because it's the silly season in Pittsburgh weather. So one day your furnace may crap out. The next day you may need your AC and it may not be working correctly. Who the hell knows? Whatever is going on. Or even if you just want to get it tuned up for the spring to make sure everything's running well, Impact HVAC, they are the guys to take care of the job for you. Tony and his crew, they'll come on out and fix you up real quick if things aren't working. or take a look at everything and make sure it's in tip-top shape for the coming spring and summer months. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook is where you go to take care of all of that. We thank them as well for jumping on board to Kabali and Mac. One more time, if you know Larry Yellen, he won the Sidney Crosby autographed photo plaque. So congrats to Lawrence. Larry Yellen, if you know Larry, tell him to get a hold of us, and we will make sure that he gets the Sidney Crosby autographed photo plaque from First and Goal Collectibles out at South Hills Village. All right, let's talk about reporters fighting. This is hilarious to me.
By the way, I just did a quick Google search, and there's a Larry Yellen who is a judge in Orange County, California.
I wonder if that's him. I hope that's him. That would be fantastic.
He's a career prosecutor.
Huh. I wonder if he's a massive Steelers fan.
Maybe he's just a massive Chris Mack fan.
Who isn't, really, right? So I can think of at least a few people. I take that back. what was I going to say? Oh, the reporter fight. Speaking of media disagreements.
I think you should take this one.
What, Rappaport and Jordan Schultz?
No, media fights.
I've never fought anyone in the media.
I'm not suggesting you are, but I think you should take a lead on this one.
Okay, so this is hilarious to me that Ian Rappaport is just sitting at the Starbucks. What was it, in like the lobby of the Marriott in downtown Indy or whatever?
It's like on the second floor. It's a lot where the coaches and GMs and stay, and they have to go through the elevator, and it's like a very hot spot of, oh, I accidentally ran into ex-coach or so-and-so coach. So
the media just chill there waiting for people to walk by and pounce on them.
Yeah, it's not like it's an inside store or anywhere. It's like in the part of a lobby area on the second floor-ish.
So kind of like how Tom Brady was probably just hanging out at a ski resort in Montana when Matt Stafford happened to walk by and talk to him. Ian Rappaport's just hanging out at the Starbucks. And after he and Jordan Schultz, for those of you just getting caught up on this story, Jordan Schultz, who works for Fox, is an NFL insider. I do air quotes because lots of people call themselves insiders. Who knows? Everybody's got their own sources. However you get your info, you get your info. I'm not criticizing anyone in this scenario, except in one specific instance, which I'll get to. So Jordan Schultz reported that Matt Stafford and Tom Brady met in Montana. Brady met with Stafford to talk to him about coming to the Raiders. And immediately, everybody in the comments goes, excuse me, that's tampering. You can't do that till March 10th. So I don't know what you think you're doing, Tom Brady, but it wouldn't be the first time you kind of skirted around the shadows of the rules just a little bit to get even a most minute advantage. I guess it was like an hour later, Ian Rappaport tweets out, well, it seems it was just a chance encounter between Matt Stafford and Tom Brady, and sort of takes a sideways swipe, throws a little shade at the report by Jordan Schultz. Jordan Schultz, without naming Ian Rappaport, the same way Ian Rappaport did not name Jordan Schultz, kind of fires back and says, hey, this is what I was told happened. Now everybody's in on it. Those two are mad at each other, and Jordan Schultz bumps into Ian Rappaport at, conveniently enough, the Starbucks, which, oh, by the way, Jordan Schultz's dad owns Starbucks. Not like that one in Indianapolis, like all the Starbucks, Jordan Schultz's dad owns them. So
he bumps
into Ian Rappaport and basically says, dude, we need to talk. And Ian says, no, we don't. We don't need to talk, actually. You reported what you reported. I reported what I reported. Get the hell out of here. Schultz gets pissed, apparently starts yelling at Rappaport. If you believe everybody else, may have been some F-bombs dropped. Schultz says he doesn't remember swearing. But I will say this. I do believe Schultz's report over Rappaport's, in so much as, you know, as soon as Jordan Schultz put that out there, somebody from Vegas, whether it was Brady or somebody else, immediately reached out to Rappaport and said, Ian, wait, No, it was they just happened to both be there. They just bumped into each other. Come on. You know Tom would never do that.
It was more like, do me a solid.
Exactly. So, I would not be shocked for a second that Brady is actually trying to orchestrate Stafford to Vegas behind the scenes and tampering. B, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if Jordan Schultz actually got this right. C, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if somebody asked Rappaport to scratch their back for him so that they would scratch his later. Like, this is the way the business goes, right, Mark?
Ooh, we go on there after your 30-minute diatribe.
I wanted to make sure everybody had it straight. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it'd be kind of ironic because isn't that how Matthew Stafford ended up in L.A. with a meeting of Sean McVay? Man, we were on vacation in Puerto Rico.
Oh, shoot. How did that happen? We happened to be in the same place at the same time. This is crazy. You and me here at the same time.
I don't know the timeline on it. I mean, didn't the Rams give him permission to seek a trade? I don't know if there's a timeline issue here.
I don't know. The funnier part to me is just Jordan Schultz and Ian Rappaport getting in a shouting match.
I can say the same thing, man. It's tough because I wouldn't I hate to sit out there and dispute people's reports. I'd rather, you know, like you said, he got it from a certain guy, even though you could say this is what I hear, and I think that is what Ian did right say. This is what I've been being told.
Yeah.
Now, if he believes it, if he was told that, or if it was to scratch your back, whatever. But I mean, forget the meat and potatoes of this all. The whole fact of the matter is outside of a Starbucks in front of everybody, and there's reporters in front of reporters. When you know darn well, I'm texting. I'm surprised somebody didn't do one. And, you know, here, we videotaped this. And Florio had it within minutes of it, and it was like spot on. Yeah. Hey, stuff like this happens a lot. And one thing you don't do is you don't question other people's stuff publicly. You give them your part of it, but you don't say, well, this guy has no clue. I mean, that causes problems. I've seen numbers of media fights in Pittsburgh.
Ooh,
this is legit media fights rather than, you know,
rumors.
No freaking keyboard warrior crap now that we see. I mean, I've seen people getting thrown against walls. I've seen people getting knocked over. What's another one I've seen witness? Well, I've seen reporters and players getting separated. James Harrison getting in my face, but that's not reporter. So there's more than a handful.
Did you ever see, like, and again, you're in there a whole lot more than most other people. Like, James Harrison always gave me the vibe, and I would be in there like what, once a week, maybe for a few years. Always gave me the vibe of he was just trying to scare you. He was never actually going to do anything.
Oh, he's obviously not going to do anything, but he would definitely love to intimidate people. Love to intimidate me. Me was after a game one time, and he, I guess he thought I said something about him, and he got in my face after a game where he had 3 sacks against the Ravens and was like screaming at me. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. He thought I was Mark Madden. I've told this story 100 times. I'm like, dude, you got the wrong guy. I don't know what you're talking about here.
He's sensitive. He's always been sensitive. Like,
he one time looked at Adamski and goes, "Don't be frightened, Chris," as he looked at his name tag. You know, like one time, he would always get on Klinger too. I had an audio of him just like screaming. And you know what I was doing that a couple years, maybe more than a couple years ago, that trend where they all pretended like they were frozen or something like that.
It was a something challenge or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So they did that, and we were in the middle of a locker room, and half the people didn't know, and Klinger was zipping, yapping. And he went over to him and just starts screaming, "You don't know who I get in the fucking." He's just screaming at him, and Klinger's like, I have it on my phone somewhere, but I can't seem to find it.
I forgot about that.
But Debo loved to. There's one time a guy came in was a made custom suits or something. He was what you thought a custom suit designer would dress like, you know, bright pink in the locker room. And he walked one time, and he walked right in front of Debo, and he almost ran into him, and he yelled at him, "Don't you ever walk in front of me again." Or if you go up to Debo and say, "Hey, James, you got a minute?" And like the gangbang would come around, you know?
Yeah.
We call it, by the way. And if you didn't get him, if you waited like 15 seconds to ask the first question, he'd be like, "That's it, I'm done." And he would be, and everybody would be like, nobody asked a question. Intimidation was the majority of his game.
I will give – so do you remember – I got to give somebody credit who's no longer in town and no longer anywhere near the business.
Ryan Burke?
Do you remember – we called him Teen Wolf at 93.7.
Oh, yeah, you want to kill him, right?
Ben Livingston, yes. Ben Livingston went in there. So there was a time – this is before AB got super crazy. This is when AB was still kind of fun, right? And AB would walk around the locker room just saying to people what it is. And people would respond. You know, it'd be something stupid or funny. So Josh Miller thought it would be a hilarious idea to send Teen Wolf into the locker room and just ask guys what it is. And most of them are like, "What? What did you say?" Like, imagine Teen Wolf was like 5'8", you know, 130 pounds soaking wet. And he would walk in there. He'd walk up to guys. So, what it is, and they'd look at him like, "What the hell is that?" You know, they'd look around for a hidden camera or something. Most guys were really good about it. He walks up to James Harrison and he says, "James, hi, you know, Ben from 93.7 The Fan, what it is?" And James Harrison must have stopped in his tracks for a good 15 seconds and just looked him up and down like, what? And he literally looked at him and said, "What'd you say to me?" He said, "What it is." "Man, what's wrong with you?" And it was, if James Harrison were really a bad dude, James Harrison would have eaten him alive there. But instead, he played along because he knew exactly what was going on. He's a whole lot more aware of his perception and plays into it than he really is that dude.
I think he got Benzie one time. I think he got Benzie one time. Him and Bob McLaughlin were doing the 105.9 morning show, and I think he mistaken one for the other. Scott Brown wrote a story about him getting fined in Jacksonville because he said the refs were cheating for him.
Right.
He got fined like $20,000. He walked in the locker room and said, "Which one of you, Mother Emmers or Scott Brown? You owe me $20,000. Brownie's like this.
Not me.
Good media fight. You know, another media fight, Marquise Pouncey almost beat the living crap out of Bill DeFabio.
Why?
DeFabio liked to mess with people. And he said something probably he shouldn't have said, trying to be funny, about an injury that Pouncey just came back off of. And Marcus Gilbert said, "What'd you do that for?" And they're going back and forth. It was like, oh, no.
Look.
Here we go.
I'll tell you, one of the last humans on Earth I am messing with. Like, I just told you James Harrison, I think, is all about the perception of intimidation. The Pouncey brothers. Yeah. Anybody that wears a Free Hernandez t-shirt is one of the last people on Earth I'm screwing with. Yeah. They will make me disappear if they can.
Marquise, I love Marquise, and I think he's a guy they would love to. That's what they're sorely missing in that locker room, a guy like Marquise Pouncey, a legend. He should make the Pro Bowl, Hall of Fame next year.
I know. You're all about him making the Hall of Fame.
He's a legend. He's a stud. He's a leader among leaders. I don't care what kind of fight he wore for 2 seconds.
Are you inducting him when he goes in?
I would. Him? Oh, I think he deserves it. I think he was that good.
Ben should have retired when Pouncey retired.
What about Jesse talking about old Big Dick Huntley? I was a little bit before my time.
That was Three River Stadium, man.
Yes, it was like a year or two before my time, but I've heard that story a billion times about swinging the old stole and Earl Holmes.
Earl Holmes, that's who it was. Yeah, ooh. Huntley and Holmes swinging stools at each other in the locker room. I think I can only remember
a story about that. You probably could Google it and find it.
Oh, it's out there, and I've gotten it from people too, like the old guard who were there for it. It's amazing. I'd have to refresh my memory to make sure I got it right, but yeah, it sounds like. I mean, that's back in the Thor Tolo days, man.
Oh, yeah, Thor.
There was not a guy who Bill Cowher hated more than Thor Tolo. I don't think, anyway.
Well, hated media members and coaches, you have to throw. Definitely got to throw David Taun up there, Jory Rand.
Jory.
Benzie, but I think Benzie's getting.
I think he's on the go.
Old age.
Yeah. Yeah, media fights are fun, especially when they don't involve us. So,
yes. And I haven't been involved in not media fights, but player fights.
Stay out of them.
Mike Wallace, too, didn't appreciate me. Yeah. Stuff happens.
You know what? There's some reporters that you can just tell coaches or players don't have the time of day for. Like Mike Tomlin, just the way he responds to some people in those press conferences.
Yeah.
You get a sense he's not a fan of them or their outlet or their questioning or whatever it is.
Well, Ben used to do that with ESPN because ESPN did him wrong in his eyes. So he would, you know, he wouldn't talk to them. I don't think he talked to Channel 11 forever because they knocked on his door in his house. So he would hold a grudge a lot too. But Tomlin, he's pretty much across the board. He'll dart me every once in a while, maybe not consistently, but like some other people. But everybody's not free from getting the old soft tip dart thrown their way.
Well, this was enlightening and illuminating. We are now just, when we wake up in the morning, we will be 10 days from free agency. Next week, we'll have to do a few episodes to kind of lead up to it. Maybe we could take a look again at some different players that might make sense outside of the quarterback thing, because everybody wants to talk quarterback. And obviously, that's the most important thing, and you can't build the rest of the roster until you figure out the quarterback thing. And obviously, we'll keep an eye on what's going on. The combine will wrap up over the weekend. I'm sure there will be more news next week to talk about as we build towards free agency.
Big Saturday in Toronto, too.
Oh, Elimination Chamber. I read a theory. Oh, I can't remember.
I have to finish writing my predictions here for tomorrow, for Saturday.
Real quick. I can't see them doing it, but I saw somebody throw out the theory of a fatal four-way at WrestleMania for the Undisputed title.
What, Reigns and?
Reigns?
Rock?
No.
Oh, Reigns, Rhodes?
Yep.
Who else? I have no idea.
Cena and Punk.
I'm not a big fatal four-way guy.
Neither am I, but it's a theory.
Get everybody involved.
I will say it feels like it's almost guaranteed that we're going to get a fatal four-way for the Intercontinental. Like Braun and you could put any three guys around him, but there's enough people in that orbit right now that it would make sense.
Jacob Fatu.
That's a standalone match. Fatu and Solo. That's got to be coming.
Yeah, and we still got 7-8 weeks.
I know people are all excited for the Cody turn. I don't think it happens at WrestleMania or before WrestleMania. I think they're building up to it much farther down the road.
You got 7 weeks? What is it? April 20th?
No. The Cody turn doesn't happen until like next year, man. They're gonna let that thing boil like the tea kettle that won't stop whistling on the back of the stove, man. They will let that thing boil.
With an effective Cody heel turn, he has to have the strap, though. I think that's imperative.
I don't know if he does. I think he can lose it and then turn because of that. And then he builds back up to winning it back someday.
We'll see.
All right. Let's wrap it up. We will do it again maybe Monday. Sound good?
Monday.
Jerry Gallo. This has been Kabali and Mac. Congratulations, Larry.